Hey everybody, I'm Eric, and today I watched WWE SmackDown episode 902, which aired on November 29th, 2016. I'm getting pretty excited for TLC. There are going to be so many great matches, and there are a few developments on why those matches are going to be even more great. So we open with Renee Young interviewing Alexa and Becky for their, hosting them for their contract signing. And of course, as usual, Alexa shoo-shoos her away and says, we'll take it from here. So we had a great burn on Alexa when Becky compares her to her cousin, who is, in fact, 4 years old. With her whining and complaining and all of that. They break out into a brawl, and we almost see a Bexplex through a table, but Becky gets sent through the table instead. And so she gets a bruised spine, and she's going to be nursing that for this week. So if she does lose, I hope she doesn't, I think it'll be because Alexa will focus on that spine and able to get her through that table again. But my fingers are crossed that Becky pulls out the win and remains the SmackDown Women's Championship. At the end of this episode, I'm going to talk about my predictions for TLC. So stay tuned. Stay tuned for that. All right. Up next, we had Dolph Ziggler and Kalisto against The Miz and Baron Corbin. So this was an interesting match, sort of a preview of what's to come, because we got some ladder action from The Miz. He brings out a ladder. Oh my gosh, I need to record these sooner after I watch them. I've watched everything from this week so far. I'm trying to remember back to like four things ago. But anyway, he hits a DDT. Outside the ring, I think it was, and then a super kick, so that kind of ruins his plans. But then Maurice hits Ziggler with that ladder, which could be foreshadowing, and then Baron hits Kalisto with a chair, so his team gets Corbin and Miz, and the Miz get disqualified. Dolph Ziggler and Kalisto get the win. Alright, up next we had some promos from we had an interview with Beauty and the Man Beast, Rhino and Heath Slater, and then we got a short promo with Randy saying, "We're the only two that matter," and Luke is standing right behind him, and he's kind of like, has this look of, "I'm standing right here, I can hear everything you're saying, I am kind of offended." But then he says, "Well, you've got your own task. Send Kane back to hell," which we'll get to that in a second. Up next, we had Carmella come out with a message for John Cena saying that, first she says she's going to hit Nikki Bella so hard in the chest with a chair or a ladder, one of the two, that her twins are going to be coming out her back. And then also that she's going to mess up her face so much that she's not going to, that marriage is going to be the furthest thing from her mind. So, pretty catty. And then Nikki comes out. She runs out. This is probably the fastest I've seen anybody run on any of these shows in the last 3-4 months. I'm trying to remember the last time I saw someone run. I'm in the parking lot of Target. There are a lot of people like lined up to get inside. I don't understand why. It's like 24 degrees outside. This isn't Black Friday. This is a Sunday morning. I don't know. Maybe there's some crazy cool deals. Nobody's lined up at the other entrance, so there must be maybe something going on in electronics. I have no idea. Nothing launches on Sundays. Maybe they're all getting PS4s that are on sale for, I don't know. I just think it's weird. Why aren't we should all just be in our cars, not around any other people, and not freezing cold. I'm in my car. I think I said that. Anyway, up next, we had an edition of the Ambrose Asylum. We haven't seen this segment in a long time. Dean does bring that up. He's like, oh, we got the carpet cleaned. We had to shake it out and stuff. One of my favorite lines, I guess we probably have heard this at least a couple of times before, because he says another variation of it later, but JBL calls James Ellsworth, he's a turtle without a shell. Like, yeah, he does look like that one turtle from Looney Tunes cartoons. He sings a very specific song, but I can't remember exactly what it was. But he looks just like James Ellsworth, but with a shell. And he has like a little, like a drifter, not a drifter hat, like a, what you call it? Something, I guess kind of a drifter, like a hobo might wear. You might see a hobo wearing. I don't think I'm far enough across this spot. There are plenty of spots. People can go elsewhere for their parking needs. Okay, so he comes out, and then AJ comes out, and he says he demands respect, and he attacks, and he just destroys. I'm going to use this word a couple of times in the next few episodes. He just destroys Ellsworth. He hits him with the clash, the Styles clash, off the steel steps to the outside, and Ellsworth is taken away in an ambulance. And Dean rides along with him. So that'll come back around later on. Then we have Kane versus Luke Harper. Kane wins with a choke slam. I mean, there are some pretty great moments in this match. I didn't write any notes though, but totally worth checking out. And I was thinking like, oh, now he's kind of a disappointment to Bray and Randy at this point, right? So I guess we'll see what comes of that. But he may have made up for it in the next match, which is the final round of determining who will be fighting the tag team champions at TLC for the titles. The Wyatt family, well, Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton versus American Alpha. Oh, this is an awesome match. My favorite moment was when Randy just flings Jordan onto the top ropes. He just like hits his belly right across those ropes and like just bounces off. That looked so brutal and like effortless from Randy. Everything in this match was just awesome from Randy, especially. We got to see a power slam. We got a superplex off of the top ropes. Oh man, that was great. And then this insane, oh man, this insane combo at the end. So Harper teleports in and he distracts, I think it was Jordan in the ring at this time. He gets out of his Sister Abigail, but he's met with an RKO instead. Or was it him? Oh, I can't remember exactly. But we saw an RKO followed by a spear, followed by a successful Sister Abigail, which got them the win. Oh, yeah. That sequence was just so awesome. Not quite as awesome as the ending of the 5-on-5 men's match at Survivor Series, but still pretty awesome. And it's, I mean, the same two guys involved, Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. So, yeah, I'm really excited to see this match. And, again, I'll talk about my predictions in just a moment. Let's talk first about SmackDown, Talking Smack. We had a, before that, the show ended with a Beauty and the Man Beast interview, and it's interrupted by AJ, who's saying, like, who cares about that title? should be talking about the WWE World Championship, blah, blah, blah. And then Dean runs in, and they're just brawling in the back room there. And I imagine we're going to end on, like, backstage-type segments a lot more frequently now, if not all the time, because 205 Live starts right after this, and I don't think the opening credits... Well, maybe we'll start with a backstage segment on some of the 205 Live things. So it's kind of interesting that we're going to be seeing these guys, these shows kind of programmed as one full thing because they are broadcast one right after another and flow right into the other one. So I'm excited to see all that. And I'll tune in for my episode about the first episode of 205 Live. I'll talk more about that. So we had... one of the things I noticed in this episode, I was thinking about throughout the entire thing, was the distinct lack of Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan, whereas on Raw, it was just, like, Mick Foley on screen, like, half the time. I was kind of getting annoyed with it. He wasn't there. Daniel Bryan also wasn't there for Talking Smack, so he must have had something going on. And in his place... was The Miz. Mike Mizanin. Is that how you say his last name? He was in character as not his, he was as himself, which was also a character, and he's referred every now and then he'd slip up a little bit, but he's referring to The Miz as a separate being. So that was kind of interesting, and they're also kind of confusing sometimes. Not confusing, but like strange in a way. So Ziggler is on as a guest. Pretty good talk with him. But what I noticed most is he's wearing an NWO shirt. I mean, it's an awesome shirt. I wonder if there's any deeper meaning to that. I don't know. I haven't seen anybody talking about this online. Although I did avoid, like, everything. I read it and all of that. Well, not entirely. But if it was brought up, it would have been right after the show aired for the live discussion thread or whatever. while he was talking, Renee pulls out her phone and... Mike is like, are you really checking your phone right now? What are you doing? She's like, no, I got a message from Daniel Bryan. He says, you suck or something. I forget exactly what he said. And then the other great thing that I enjoyed about this episode of Talking Smack is that why are people like so intent on getting the absolute closest spot as possible? There's like a million spots available. And they're like, we gotta be in the first five spots. Gotta be in the first five spots so that we can walk over there those 20 feet to stand in the cold with everybody else. Why are people still lining up? Why is this happening? We still have a minute to go, guys. You should all just still be in your cars staying warm. Anyhow, AJ comes out and he's pissed. He got beat up by Dean Ambrose and all of that. So you're like, why is this? I mean, at the same time, I guess, why do I have to be this close that people are going to be driving around me? I should have parked a lot further away. He's like feeling his head. And he's like, am I bleeding? He probably has sweat dripping down or something. So I like that. Whether it was a legitimate reaction or if it was kind of a bit, I enjoyed that quite a bit. What am I Kindle doing? Kindle, what's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? Oh, great. Thanks for letting me know about these magazine deals. I got an email from Amazon that said, your free magazine offers for 99 cents. What? You don't know what either of those things mean. They are not the same thing as each other. It's either free or it's 99 cents. It's not both. Get it together. All right, let's talk about predictions. Speaking of getting it together, got to turn the page since I did it after all this other stuff. All right, just going in reverse order of the card that they have posted on the WWE.com website. Weird way to say that. Apologize. I think, I mean, I love Beauty and the Man Beast. They are awesome. They haven't had a lot of screen time lately. They haven't had a lot of chance to do stuff with crackers or just be funny in general. But I think Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton are going to defeat Beauty and the Man Beast and get those tag team titles. And then we can have them feuding with American Alpha probably, because they're going to be mad that they got screwed out of another shot at the titles. And if their match in this episode was any indication, that's going to be a killer match between the two. But even then, we still haven't seen Beauty and the Man Beast against American Alpha directly in a 2-on-2 situation, I don't think. So that would be exciting as well. But I think that the Wyatt family will prevail, and then possibly during this title reign, that's when stuff will develop even more with them. Either with Randy finally turning, I guess, or with Luke becoming even more jealous, I suppose. But he did help them, so I don't know. I don't know. I can't figure him out. I can't figure him out. I keep thinking that Harper is going to turn on him, and it doesn't happen. All right, Baron Corbin will most likely destroy Kalisto with chairs unless Corbin slips off the apron again and hurts his leg. So we'll see what happens. Dolph Ziggler, I think, will climb the ladder to win the Intercontinental title from The Miz. I think Nikki Bella will beat Carmella. She'll beat the living daylights out of her. Give her another black eye. I think I saw a news article about it, or a tweet maybe, saying she had a black eye, and I think it was from the attack in this episode. I think Becky Lynch will successfully Bexplex Alexa Bliss through a table. Either that or a Twisted Bliss through the table would be friggin' awesome. So, does it count? I should look in the rule, look up the rules, if there are even specific rules. If you put yourself through a table, does that count? So if she went for the Twisted Bliss on Becky, who's laid out on the table, but Becky rolls out of the way and Alexa busts through that table, does that mean Becky wins? I'm not sure. I'll have to look up the details of that. And then finally, I think AJ Styles will retain the WWE World title against Dean Ambrose in the friggin' match of the year, for sure. If he puts on such an awesome match, so many awesome matches with James friggin' Ellsworth, I cannot wait to see a full-on TLC match between him and Ambrose. All right, people are finally let in to Target, so I think I'm going to head in there. I'm not even sure what I'm going to get right now. Just wander around a little bit. But let me know what you thought about this episode by tweeting me at TIW Podcast. Go to todayiwatched.com for more reviews. If you enjoyed this episode or anything else on the site, please share some links with your friends. Subscribe on iTunes, write a review on iTunes, and support the show even more at patreon.com/todayiwatched. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back real soon with my review of 205 Live, main event, NXT, and of course, TLC. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.